Time now for Surf and Turf. Alternating Thursdays at this time, we get reports from our oceans guy, Boris Warm, and about the rest of the wild kingdom from Andrew Hebda at the Museum of Natural History. This week, swimming with the sharks.
Under the sea, darling, it's better down where it's wetter, take it from me.
There's a growing interest in sharks here in the Maritimes and around the world, as the once feared predators have become prey themselves to overfishing. About half of the 28 species of shark that occur in Canada are listed as globally threatened. Researchers scramble to find ways to protect depleted populations. Fishermen want to avoid catching sharks. They're usually unwanted bycatch, can damage fishing gear and reduce target catches. And just last week, the World Wildlife Fund Canada organized the first shark forum in Halifax. It brought together scientists, fishermen, government officials, and conservation groups to figure out how to make our waters a little safer for sharks. Boris Warm studies the oceans at Dalhousie University. He was at that forum. Hello, welcome back.
Hi, Stephanie.
We really are seeing a shift in attitude, aren't we? We used to think about protecting people from sharks. Now we have to protect sharks from people.
Yeah, that's right. It's quite a shift, and it happens quite rapidly because study after study has shown that sharks are really not equipped to deal with increasing fishing pressure. And as a result of this, many populations are now at dangerous low levels and maybe endangered. And fortunately, this is now broadly recognized, and people are really trying to do something about it also in this region.
So what kinds of information came up in last week's forum?
So it was a really positive experience. We had fishermen there and non-governmental and governmental organizations and scientists, and we really all had a common goal, which is avoiding to catch sharks. The fishermen obviously don't want to catch them, and from a conservation perspective, we also don't want them to be caught. So we were talking a lot about ways of avoiding them in the first place, and then when you catch them, how do you safely release them? They're doing this now for turtles. They have to give training to certain fishermen to, if they catch a turtle, how can they safely release it? And they can use the same equipment to release sharks. We've also talked about shark repellent hooks and other ways of making the sharks not go into the fishing gear. But one problem is that there's a number of sharks we still know so little about, it's even hard to protect them.
Oh, who are these mystery sharks?
So we talked about the basking shark and the Greenland shark, and specifically the basking shark is this large plankton-eating shark, the second largest fish in the world, which is commonly found in the Bay of Fundy and elsewhere in our waters. The Greenland shark is even more interesting to me. It's the second largest flesh-eating shark in the world, just after white sharks. We know almost nothing about it. We don't know its basic biology. There was one pregnant female ever recorded. We don't know where the juveniles are. We're only seeing the adults. We don't really know how widely they're distributed, how deep they occur, just what their growth rate is. They may live up to 200 years, but we can't estimate their age very well. So they're just a totally enigmatic and interesting shark.
But we know a little bit about them. Do we know what they look like?
Yes. So they are quite large. The adults are between 4 and 7 meters. They look maybe a little clumsy. They're kind of more compressed than a blue shark, for example. They're dark in color. They have relatively small eyes because probably they live quite deeply in there. They are thought to rely a lot on their noses for finding prey. They may be feeding on carcasses of seals and whales, which come down and rot on the bottom, but they may also stalk the occasional seal.
Has anyone looked at them in their natural habitat?
Yes. So we have an active research program here from the Greenland Shark and Elasmobranch Research and Education Group in Quebec, or GERC for short. And Jeffrey Gallant, he was at the meeting. He is kind of the head researcher there. He dives with Greenland sharks. He tracks them underwater. He monitors their movement, and he tries to find out how many of them there are in this. The region is unique in the world, because it's thought to be a deep water shark, but in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, they come into very shallow waters. Even in the summer when the water is quite warm, you observe them and you can dive with them and see them firsthand and observe their behavior. And we're going to play a little clip how they look like underwater.
The Greenland shark is a very massive creature. When we see a specimen that measures 4 meters, usually the first thing you see is just the shadow. And the bottom is covered with large boulders, so every time you see a shadow, you think maybe it's a shark, but this time it's not a shark. But finally, when it is a shark, your heart just starts to pump very fast, very quickly. Then we have to signal to the other divers there's a shark in this direction. And the shark is usually fairly easy to approach because they come towards us. And at a certain point when they get within visual recognition, they change course, and then it's up to us to get closer or to engage the shark or to just let it swim by. But to see it swim, it's this sounds very cliche, for it's used to describe many animals, but it's very majestic. The animal is obviously in its element because it's hardly moving at all, and yet it's still moving. It's still swimming at 0.5 meters per second.
So that was Jeffrey Gallant from the Greenland Shark and Erasmus Bank Research Education Group in Quebec, and describing his encounter with the Greenland Shark.
It sounds amazing. He used the word majestic mm-hmm. to describe that shark. Can they be dangerous too?
They've never attacked anyone, but then very few people have done diving with them because usually they're in deeper waters. They can be quite curious, so they cruise around a lot, and they seem to be constantly on the move, according to the tagging data that Jeff and others have produced. And they're certainly checking out things, but they've never shown to be aggressive. They tend to be quite timid at times. Here's another encounter that Jeff had with a Greenland shark that was a little closer.
We hadn't seen any sharks for that whole week, so I didn't think we were going to see sharks. And my partner and I jumped into the water, could barely see each other. And then I turned to my right and I saw a shadow. I looked to my left and my friend wasn't there anymore. So I thought maybe it's me just spinning in the water and I didn't realize it. Then I looked to my left again and he was there. And I saw the shadow at the same time. And I said, well, looks like there's something else, or maybe it's just something that was going on with the visibility of the plankton or shadow from the boat. Anyways, we got lost. We got separated. And when I came back to the surface, my friend was already on the boat, and he was yelling, "Big shark, under the boat." So this shark was probably coming to inspect what was happening in very short. So this happened in like almost zero visibility. There was only 5 meters of water, so it's completely unexpected and unknown for this species. So we think that when this happened, the shark demonstrated how it can take a live seal via ambush predation. I didn't actually make out the shark myself, but when Chris turned around to look at me, he got the shark right in his face. It was only about 30 centimeters from his face, and it really scared him. Apparently it scared the shark as well, because he chased it, and he chased it down to maybe 30 meters, and the shark wanted to get away from him as quick as he wanted to get away from the shark. But ever since that time, we never dive when in that sort of visibility, because you're just looking for trouble.
Okay, so that was, again, Jeff Gallant diving in the Gulf of St. Lawrence with Greenland sharks.
Why is it important to get to know these mystery sharks?
Well, they're the only Arctic shark, really. So they're unique to our waters and those of maybe places like Northern Europe and Russia. They also occur in Greenland. And they're probably a really important part of that particular ecosystem because they are the only very large predator there. And also, they tend to be taken in fisheries in that area. The turbot fishery, for example, has quite a high bycatch of them. And since we know so little about them, you know, if these are very slow-growing, long-lived animals, which, you know, maybe 200 years in age and have very few pups, we want to be very careful about catching them, even as bycatch. And so it's a good idea to understand their basic biology and also their distribution. They extend from the Gulf of St. Lawrence to Newfoundland all the way across the Arctic.
So given that, and having heard about Jeffrey Gallant's recent experience, are you planning any diving with Greenland sharks anytime soon?
Oh, absolutely.
Your scientific curiosity wins out.
Absolutely. This summer, Jeff and I are going to hopefully put a few tags on sharks and study their movements over longer time periods, a year or so, see whether they stay in the Gulf of St. Lawrence or whether they move to other places, what kind of water depth they live in the winter, because we haven't observed them in the winter. And just understand where they may be intercepted with fisheries. And I'm just very, very curious to make these experiences myself.
All right, be careful out there.
Thank you, will do.
That's Boris Worm. He's our oceans guy. Next week on Surf and Turf, some turf talk with Andrew Hebda from the Nova Scotia Museum of Natural History.